at this appointed time. You know, I have, you know, pondered different, you know, thoughts of, you know, what it'd be like back in the early 1900s and the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost fresh and anew upon the church. I was just pondering on it just the other day. And everybody that was getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, they wanted to go share it everywhere they could. And most of the time when they went to churches to share it, they weren't asked to come back. Not everybody embraced the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the early 1900s. There was multitudes of denominations that just rejected it totally, but what you find as you study the history of it, there was people coming out of every denomination hungry for God and receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost because of their desire to draw closer to God. And that is one of the key ingredients, if you will, of receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost, is getting hungry for God. Hallelujah. You see, you'll never be baptized in the Holy Ghost if you're not hungry. Now, how many in here like to remain hungry? You know, when you get the hunger pain, you just say, oh, that's a hunger pain. I don't want to deal with that right now. Anybody like that? Some folks are, but most folks aren't. They get hungry, what do? They start looking in the fridge. They start looking in the cupboard. If you're driving down the road, you're looking for a convenience store or your favorite fast food place. Why? Because you're hungry. Amen. And when you get hungry for God, you'll start looking for God anywhere and everywhere and all the time until you find Him. Hallelujah. And that's, you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost not long after that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, that wasn't my start time. I was still on Lucas's dime. Praise the Lord. The book of Daniel tonight, chapter number 3, going to begin reading a portion of Scripture very familiar to us tonight to start this message on handling the heat. And what a better place to start, you know, than Daniel chapter number 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Handling the heat. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And you'll have to bear with my voice tonight because I've got some drainage going on and it may stop halfway through a sentence. And said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they weren't afraid. They weren't worried. They were not intimidated one bit. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Wow. Man, give us two people with that type of tenacity. There was three here, but I said, just give me two, and we'll turn this world upside down. Amen, because that's what it takes. Amen. For the kingdom of God to be presented to a lost and dying world. You may be seated again this evening. Hallelujah. As we look at this here tonight, we look at their courage. We look at their tenacity. But hey, we're going to get there. Slow down. I want to talk about their faith. Their faith. Because this is where the tenacity came from. This is where the boldness came from. They knew their God. Hallelujah. They trusted their God more than they trusted themselves. Hallelujah. I want you to want that to sink in a little bit. Because, you know, we deal with a lot of self-trust in Christianity today. In other words, we can handle it. We can do it. I'm strong enough. I'm powerful enough. I'm stubborn enough. I mean, that's not how they handled this situation. Not at all. They knew their God. They were committed to their God. And they were ready to face the heat. They were ready to face the fire. Notice it was a burning fiery furnace, not just a fiery furnace. You know the story. How many know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Not telling you anything you haven't read about. You understand that the furnace was heated 7 times hotter than ever before. This was a historical moment of time in the history of Babylon, where Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, wroth, that's what terminology of the Bible, full of anger that he just couldn't even see past the nose on his face. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but he was. And because of that, he did not care who died, who got hurt. He heated that furnace 7 times hotter. The very men that threw the 3 Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace lost their lives because of this man's anger towards these 3 boys, young men. Do you know the rest of the story? They were able to handle the heat because of their faith in their God. And God honored that faith, and God used them to open the blinded eyes of a wicked king. Wow, right here, they were able to handle the heat. All right, I need 3 Hebrew boys. I need 3 volunteers. Come here, Weston. All right. Stand right down here. All right. Well, yeah, that'll work right there. All right. I need some older boys, though. Come on, Jansen. You can come, too. Isaac, you can come. Because it's going to take an older boy to help me with what I'm going to do. The younger boys, they're going to go, All right. Now, this is not a blowtorch. This is not a fiery furnace. Do you want to put your finger in that? Why not? Because it's fire. Oh, do you get scared if I put it? Yeah, I can tell you do. Do you? I'm scared. I'm almost scared. Do you want to touch that? I don't think you could. I wouldn't either. Really, I wouldn't. Good choice. Now you're, young man. You're tough. Yeah. Oh, now stick your finger in it and leave it there. That's not how you get the fire to go out. It's going to keep burning. Does that scare you? Just yeah. Okay. Thank you. These are the 3 Chelsea boys. Amen. Who had an encounter with fire. You can be seated. Thank you. Amen. And each one of them had a different response at a different moment of time, but each one of them had a response of fear at one point or another. Now, Isaac did well. He was very courageous with just a little, whoop. That was good. But he would not leave his finger in there. And then if I brought it close to his nose, he did not want any part of that fire. Then I don't think he would just swish his nose through it like he did his finger. I mean, I did that little illustration. You got to realize fear is always a factor when you and I are tested or asked to do something by God. Fear is always a factor. Now, fire in the Bible is used in a multitude of different things. In this story of the 3 Hebrew children, it was a form of punishment. In other words, the king was going to make them pay for their rebellion against his authority and his power. And they just said, we're not worried about it, King. We're going to serve God regardless of what happens to us. Amen. Anybody else got that mind frame here tonight? Just raise a hand. I mean, are you serious about serving God? No matter what God asks of me, I'm going to do. No matter what comes against me, I'm still going to serve God. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give out. I'm going to continue to serve my God with a rational decision of mind. Wow. Not an emotional outbreak of tears, but a rational decision. They weren't crying here in this story. They weren't around an altar of prayer. They weren't really in the presence of God having a Pentecostal meeting. They were standing in the face of the fire of the enemy, and they would not back down. Wow. Praise our God. Now, in the Bible, fire is used as judgment. In Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 13, it says, hear ye that are afar off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. This is God speaking. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be sure. So, who's going to dwell in fire? Wow. Sinners of Zion, they're afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Why? Because they're going to dwell in fire. They're going to fall under the fiery judgment of God. And so we see then fire is a judgment. And we've got to understand that judgment is coming. As Brother Terry testified, that we need to watch and pray that we'll be ready for the coming of the Lord, and we will not be falling underneath his fire of indignation and his wrath that he's going to pour out upon this world. The only way we're going to avoid the fire is walking righteously and speaking righteously and not doing anything evil. And what is evil? Evil is the absence of God. And so if I'm prone to do wrong, it's because there's an absence of God in my life. Catch that. It's an absence of God in my life. How does God get in my life? Well, hang on. I'm going to let you know. Praise God. Fire is also a representation of the presence of God. So, which fire do you want? The torment of fire or the presence of the fire of God? Woo. Deuteronomy 4 and 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Woo. Praise God, that's God's presence. Amen. There in the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, through the wilderness, God had that pillar of fire. He was in that fire. Amen. He was in that pillar of cloud. And he spoke to them out of that fire. So they knew that that fire was a representation of God also. Acts chapter 2, verse number 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Hallelujah. Once again, this was a representation for that Jew to remember that fire when the law was given. And now that the New Testament was coming into fruition, that same fire was not on a mountain and was not on a nation, but it fell on all who believed in Christ. Hallelujah. And from that point forward, that fire never showed up again in the Bible as a sign The only sign that showed up every time was speaking in an unknown tongue when they received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So if you're seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost and you're waiting for the sign of fire, you're not going to get it. But there will be a sign of full surrender when you let that unruly tongue of yours be led by the Holy Ghost of God and let God begin to speak through you the wonderful things of God. Hallelujah. And so that fire is a presence of God. And in Psalms 39:3, it says, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." What's the psalmist talking about that there? He's talking about the presence of God, the fire of God, the Holy Ghost of God that brings me to that place where I start seeing who I really am, what I really am, and what I really need from my God. Hallelujah. And so that presence of God, that fire of God, it kind of blessed my soul when we started singing songs that were about fire tonight. I'm not a fire bug. I don't like to set fires here and set fires there, but I want to set a fire down deep in your soul, hallelujah, with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, because it's that fire that's going to preserve me and keep me going forward with my God, because if the fire goes out, there's an absence of God. And if there's an absence of God, it will automatically become evil. You don't have to do anything. Just have an absence of God and evil shows up. It's default. Did you catch that? Does anybody know what default means? Most of your electronics have a default. It's all the settings. And you can go into most electronics and you can change your settings to how you like them. But if something ever happens that it shuts down or there's a glitch, it automatically comes up with default, just like it was from the factory. Well, do you realize what you were like from the factory? You were a sinner, full of sin, full of self, full of evil. That's your default. That's my default. And when there's an absence of God, it automatically goes into default. Evil just shows up. It just shows up. And so then I've got to make sure then I'm in pursuit of the fire of God. And I want to make mention of this, because all through Pentecost, different times we talk about getting on fire for God. And I want to make sure that we don't misunderstand what that means. Because in a lot of places, a lot of people think getting on fire with God is getting great emotion going on. That's not getting on fire for God. That's getting excited about God, and that's not wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But to get on fire for God is when I come to that place of full surrender to my God, and I am ready to change anything, everything, whatever He needs, whatever He wants. I'm on fire for God because I'm ready to hear His voice. I'm ready to follow Him, and I'm ready to bring a death to this old carnal man just as fast as I can. That's on fire for God. Now, if you just get excited about God, get excited about the message, but never want to change your carnal life, then you are not on fire for God. You're still on fire for yourself. Oh, did I say that? I am so sorry. Forgive me for that. But that's exactly what it means. Fire is also a representation of purifying. Malachi 3:2. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Jesus. That's talking about Jesus, the Son of God, when He came to fruition of His ministry on the face of the earth. Amen. Now remember, Moses was given the law, but Jesus Christ brought grace and truth. And grace and truth does not necessarily make anything or everything easy. No, it usually complicates a situation. Because both of them require change. Woo! Hello! Both of them require change. Grace is never intended, never was intended to overlook sin, disobedience, ungodliness. Grace was never, that's not grace. That's just carnality and a carnal mind and a fleshly mind and a lustful mind. Grace comes on the scene and it immediately starts teaching me of my ungodliness. It immediately starts teaching me of my unrighteousness. It immediately starts revealing to me what I need from God, hallelujah, that I might change my life by His glory, His power, His love. That's what grace. And then truth, then is how I accomplish it. Grace lets me know I need it. And truth shows me what it is. And then I just have to follow. Whoa, praise God. So who's going to abide when Jesus comes on the scene? Woo. Have you ever been around people that when the power of God starts moving and the presence of God comes down, they start running? They get up, they go to the bathroom, they go to the other room, they go find a place to pray somewhere in a far corner because they want to get away from God. They want to look like they're being spiritual, but they ain't wanting what God's wanting to do. Woo. Yeah. Who's going to abide in the day of His coming? Who really wants to be in the presence of a holy God when grace and truth start showing up? I do. Hallelujah. I do. Praise God. It's that fire that begins to purify. Well, in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, he says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if the already be kindled? That was Jesus Christ talking about His ministry, what He was coming to do. Hallelujah. And you know, he came to bring grace and truth, but He also said there's going to be trouble. Because not everybody's going to want the truth. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, how many love going through a trial? I mean, just, you know, you are just praying to God. God, send me through a trial. Just send me through one, God. I need a trial so bad. Is anybody praying like that? No. Nobody wants a trial. We want God to let everything be nice and easy and smooth and no stress, and that everybody will act right and everybody will do right and everybody will talk right and everybody will treat me right, regardless how they treat anybody else, as long as they treat me right. I mean, you know, but Peter said the trial of your faith being more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So there's going to come fire that will purify. There's going to come times that will test our commitment to Jesus Christ. There's going to come times when the enemy... Well, let's go ahead and read 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Wow. I think we need to take that scripture, put it on a plaque and put it on our wall, or put it on a refrigerator like we do all the other scriptures that we like, so that we will understand today may be a trial. But it's not a strange thing, because it has come for my perfection. It has come for my purifying process. We've got to understand when the test starts coming and the trial starts coming and everything starts going wrong and it is really pressing us and stressing us, then we got to understand, think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come upon you, hallelujah, because you do have an enemy. Sometimes we forget we've got an enemy, and he's really real, and he knows how to put it on in our minds. Because what he's after is creating fear. Want a little fire? I should have brought the flame torch. I should have. I started to, but I thought now I might get something on fire. Want a little fire? No, we don't want that. But he's going to send it. He's going to send it. Don't think it's strange when it comes. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The fire's going to come. The fiery darts are going to come. So fire is a purifying thing. And the fiery darts of the enemy, unbeknownst unto him, because he's so full of pride, is the strength of your heart, the strength of your soul, the strength of your mind. Hallelujah. Because, woo, glory, the child of God is bringing on. Hallelujah. Because you've got faith. You've got a shield of faith. You've got a walk with God. You've got a faith in God. You've got a relationship with Christ. And you know the fire's going to come. So you just go ahead and get ready for it when it comes. And let your faith be strong. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Isaac, Jensen, and Weston. Let your faith be strong. Because that is what's going to quench the fiery dart. And just a little insert here, you know, faith, what is it? Well, faith is the acknowledgement that he is God. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. And without it, catch this now, without it, we cannot please God. So no matter what you may try to do to please God, of your own thinking and your own way of trying to deny yourself to please God, there's only one way to deny yourself. That is to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ at an altar of prayer. Any other self-denial is just pride. If you're trying to make God do something and try to make God happy by just doing something, it ain't going to happen. Because it takes faith, and faith is surrender. Faith is surrender. Oh, wow. So in Mark chapter 9, verse number 17, it says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith," these are some pretty tough words. Most folks probably wouldn't say these were words of kindness, nor words of compassion, nor words of love. But they were, because they were coming from Jesus. "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." So what was missing in this scenario, according to the words of Jesus Christ? Faith. Faith was missing. And I realize effort You know, we wouldn't talk about effort, but effort wasn't missing. Knowledge of Jesus wasn't missing. Knowing what to do wasn't missing. But what was missing was faith. 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 Verse 23, and you're not going to have these, Isaac, unless you're quick enough to pick them up and put them on there, because I just added them tonight. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Has anybody got that on a plaque on your wall? All things are possible with God. I mean, that's one of the ones we love. That's one of the ones we like. I mean, we like to look at that and look at our day and say, all things are possible with God. Or then there's you know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And we can put that, oh, yeah. But faith is going to make it happen. And not just, I hope that happens today. So, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, this is where I find myself also, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Because it's not going to happen unless I believe. And there's that fine line. When does it move from knowledge to faith? I don't know. But what I do know is it can. And it must. If it's going to happen. And so Jesus, in his compassion, in his mercy, in his grace, whether or not this father actually really moved to a place of unbelief or of belief or not, I'm not for sure. But I do know one thing. Jesus still cast out the dumb spirit. And even though we may bring it on ourselves, he still comes and helps us. Mercy. A lot of times we call it grace. But the more I think about what grace really is, it's more mercy than it is grace. But then when mercy shows up, then we start thinking about the grace of God, and it starts changing us. Because next time we'll put gas in the car. I trust you won't make that mistake more than three times. Because how many realize we're supposed to learn from our mistakes? Praise God. But I realize, I understand, we get busy, our minds get occupied. Anybody's mind ever gets occupied? Is your mind occupied right now with something besides what I'm talking to you about? Hope not. Praise God. Oh, what? Huh? Huh? Woo! Look out now. Don't want to single anybody out, but I'm pointing at you. Hallelujah. So here we are, and then the disciples come a little bit later after the spirit's already been cast out, and the crowd's kind of dissipated, and they're kind of moving on, and they ask him, Lord, how come we couldn't do that? And this is what he told them. Verse 29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Wow. How many heard what Sister Pepper said? We're starting on Tuesday. Tell me. Somebody tell me. Oh, you heard. You listened. You've been changed. Praise God. Because this only happens by prayer and fasting. So, question for you. Does that mean prayer and fasting is a magical antidote to make things happen? No, because there's nothing magical about God. But he's very powerful. Very mighty. You see, they had just fed 4,000 people. You back up Mark chapter 8. This account follows feeding of 4,000 people with a few loaves and a couple fishes. And it follows a blind man being healed. It follows Peter being rebuked because Jesus starts openly telling them about his crucifixion, about his death, and how he's going to die, and he's going to be delivered over to the rulers, and they're going to kill him. And Peter steps up. Oh, my Lord, that ain't going to happen to you over my dead body. And let me remind you what Jesus said to him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Was he really talking to Peter? Or was he talking to the spirit that Peter allowed to come into his mind? You see, it's very important how you think. And Peter was carnal in his thinking. And Peter more or less said, "Over my dead body this is going to happen." And then he changed his tune and said, "Well, if they're going to kill you, kill me. I'm going to be killed too later on." Just Peter was Peter. That's how Peter was. But then also, just previous and just after that, Peter makes his great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So you see then, oh wow. You see then, we've got to be careful and not bounce from spiritual to carnal, spiritual to carnal, spiritual to carnal. I mean, that's what Peter was doing. I mean, at one moment he was in control of the situation and he had it all under control, and Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Surely you've never thought something like that. But Peter did. But then he would make the great profession, "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." So the Spirit of God was there. The Spirit of God was working in Peter, but he was nowhere near where he needed to be because he was still too much Peter. And I mean, he could get it right in a few spots. How many realize that's not enough? And so we see then this all proceeds about the statement, prayer and fasting. And then the very last portions of Scripture in Mark chapter 8, 34. "And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also," so the whole multitude, he called them together, "and he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." So he's performing all these miracles. He's healing the blind. He's telling them about his upcoming event of dying. And he's being proclaimed as the Son of God. And then he lets them know, the whole multitude, this is what it takes to be victorious. This is what it takes to walk with me. This is what it takes. See, he was always already giving them prelude. This is what it takes to cast out devils. This is what it takes to have the power of God. This is what it takes to have the anointing of God. This is what it takes for the will of God to be performed in your life. It takes a denying himself, taking up his cross, and following Jesus. So whosoever will save his life, that means I'm not following anybody. I'm not going to be told what to do by anybody. I've got my own thoughts, my own life, and I've got my own way I'm going to serve Jesus. You're going to lose it. And you're going to be finding yourself in the fire of destruction. Yeah. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, this is the only way to follow Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? This is the only way to follow Jesus Christ. I've got to let him have control of my life. Whosoever shall lose his life, giving that life back to Jesus Christ, for my sake and the gospel's the same, shall save another. They'll be saved. They'll walk with the upright. They'll have that promise of heaven. They'll have that promise of eternal life. But those who will not lose their life will burn in hell. The judgment of fire. So, as I'm closing tonight, which fire do you want? Because you're going to have one of them. There's no in between, and there's no other place. Hallelujah. It's either surrendering to God and walking with God, or it's going to be burning in the judgment fire. So back to prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting brings about strength to deny yourself. That's what fasting is. How many of you remember what I said when I began this message here tonight? When you're hungry, you just push it aside. No, you go find something to eat. And if you're really hungry, you start digging in the leftovers that's been there for a week. Because you're hungry, and the wife hadn't bought groceries yet. And so you are looking for something to munch on and chew on that's not going to chew on you first. You're hungry. Maybe you're not like me. I'm terrible. When I'm hungry, I want to eat. Sister Pepper may be making supper, but I'm hungry at this moment. And I'm still scrounging around to see if there's something that's already done I can snack on. Get out of the kitchen, They always tell me to get out of the kitchen. I'm hungry. As you can tell, I've not been underfed. But prayer and fasting brings strength to deny self, because just not eating is a form of self-denial. And that's why prayer and fasting brings about the denying of self, the putting down of the old man, thus enhancing being led by the Spirit of God, and thus moving into a place of greater faith. Because self and flesh is the source of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Those three things do not come from God. They do not come from the power of the Holy Ghost, nor the presence of the Holy Ghost. Those three things, fear, doubt, and unbelief, come from the carnal mind, the natural man, the self man, and not from God. And so prayer and fasting brings about a transformation inside my life to where I am putting down self, I am putting down flesh, and thus I am putting down fear, doubt, and unbelief. And what is happening then? The Holy Ghost begins to quicken my heart, my mind. Clarity begins to come. The voice of God begins to become louder, and the Word of God becomes more powerful. And I find myself walking in faith and believing God for great things. All because self has a moment of mortification. Oh, wow. If we could get to where self had a lifetime of mortification, we would see even greater things done for God. Hallelujah. But God just asked us to start prayer and fasting so that we can start conquering fear, doubt, and unbelief, and the Holy Ghost then began to move and rise up in a stronger power. Glory. Because whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to be the strongest. If you feed your carnal man, your fleshly man, your selfish man the most, he's going to be the strongest. But if you start denying him, and that's just, it's just a proven fact all through the Bible that prayer and fasting was chosen by God for men to draw closer to God and to hear God's word. And so that's why we felt in 2023 we're going to incorporate prayer and fasting. You don't have to limit it to Tuesday, but as the church, we're designating that day as prayer and fasting. So do what you can when you can, but make sure you do. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so thus, handling the heat of the purifying test, handling the heat of the fiery darts, and enjoying the fire of the presence of our God all require faith. And thus, we avoid the fire of judgment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's all about faith. My relationship with Jesus Christ and how much He is allowed to direct my life. Because He will not be a bully. He will not make me do right. He will not make me do His word. But He will move in such a wonderful, magnificent way that I realize I need to follow You. I need to follow You. I need to handle the heat better. Praise God. Now, Brother Lucas was saying, you know, he's loving this weather here in January. And Sister Pepper saying it's cold. And she's looking for the 90s and the 100s of summertime because she loves the heat. She loves the sunshine. I love sunshine and I like this weather myself. But, it was way too cold. But handling the heat of your Christian walk is going to be done by allowing God to strengthen your faith and your relationship with Him to where you will follow Him and not yourself. I don't know if you've looked at that yearly calendar. There's more on it. And you look at that and you think, oh my, more? Whoa. That's going to be exhausting. That's going to require more of me. I'm going to miss out on probably 30 minutes of my Sunday nap. Oh, I'm glad I'm not in the choir. Woo! Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. But what I do know is God will make up the difference if we will walk by faith and not by sight. Sight looks at, whoa, I'm not going to have enough strength. No. Faith says, God, by Your grace, by Your mercy, strengthen me, grant me wisdom. Preparation. Somebody said preparation. Hallelujah. If you know it's coming, prepare for it. Hallelujah. Don't go to bed at midnight on Saturday night and ask God to give you strength the next day. Woo. Preparation. You prepare for Sunday. Now, if you're a person that doesn't require much sleep, then by all means, go for it. But if you're a person who requires a lot of sleep, then don't go for that. You will not enjoy the next day. When I was young, like most of these people in here, I could stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes all night long, and go full steam ahead the next day. But if I stay up past midnight now, I'm ruined the next day, have no strength, no stamina, no want to at all. So I can't go. I can't stay up all night anymore. I'm not encouraging as a young person to stay up all night. That's not wise. I'm just saying I could. I did. But what we're after is wisdom, preparation. Get ready. Jesus is coming. Stand with me. Handling the heat. It's coming. It's coming. The fiery darts aren't going to stop, not till you reach heaven. The trials are not going to stop, not till you reach heaven. So I've got to arm myself with the mind frame, okay? By faith, today I will live for God. I will put it in His hands. I will listen to His voice. And I will allow Him to take me through this fiery trial. And I will allow Him to speak to me. Praise God. A fiery dart. I don't know, this is just the reality. How many's ever thrown darts at the dartboard? Okay. So how many's ever stood down by the dartboard and caught the dart somebody was throwing? I don't think I'd even try it. Yeah, got that one. No. And it's the same way. I mean, the fiery dart, you ain't going to be able to stop them by yourself. But what is it? It's the shield of faith. The faith is going to stop the fiery darts. Because the fiery dart is to attack my mind to move me to fear, doubt, and unbelief. And the faith, the shield of faith, is the word of God rising up. Be it known unto you, King. Our God delivers us, or if He doesn't, we're not bowing to your gods. We're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it God's way. That's the shield of faith. Hallelujah. Not me being stubborn. Not me thinking I can handle it. Not me trying to be quick-witted and avoid it. No. It's the shield of faith. Whatever God wants done. How would Jesus handle this? What would Jesus do? I know that's old. It's amazing how old that is. But yet at the same time, it's just as real today. Because that's how I need to think. What would Jesus do? When the temptation comes, what would Jesus do? When the trial comes, what would Jesus do? When the old rising of the enemy against the lust of our flesh begins to come around, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And then that humbling of that heart, what is faith? I mean, that's faith in its fullness. That humbling of that heart, Lord, oh God, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done. Hallelujah. What is that? That's handling the heat. That's handling the heat. Hallelujah. That's faith rising up in our hearts. That's our walk with God. That comes only by prayer and fasting. By the denying of self, putting self down, and letting the will of God be accomplished no matter what it may be, no matter how hard it may be, no matter how difficult it may be, because none of that really should matter. Lord, what would you have me to do? Will it be easy? No. Can it be done? Yes. Because when I make the choice, you understand this probably above anything. The minute I make the choice of surrender to the will of God, that's when His power shows up. That's when extra help comes on the scene. That's when the Holy Ghost rises up within us. And gives us a faith we cannot comprehend. Because we make the choice to do it His way. And then that's when the power comes on the scene. How could all those disciples be hung on crosses? How could they be martyred? How could they go through what they went through? Because they made the choice. God, not my will, but your will be done. And thus the power of the Holy Ghost showed up on the scene. Hallelujah. Those men that died so you and I could have this book, this Bible, the King James Version Bible. Those men that died were burned alive at the stake. They faced the fire literally. trying to get God's word in the hands of the common man, you and me. And they were willing to die, give up their lives, and be burned in the fire. But it didn't bother them. It didn't hurt them. Why? Because they made that choice. God, your will be done. When they went to that fire, I 100% believe they did not feel pain. Because they had made up their mind like those Hebrew boys. And they were walking in the flame. No smoke on them at all. Yes, those men died. They weren't feeling any pain. William Tyndale stuck his finger in the candle and let it burn. And he said, I fear no fire. Woo, praise God. What was that? That's faith. That's a power of God moving in his life. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's amazing what can be done when you and I find that place of surrender and allow God then to work his mighty work in us. Come around these altars here tonight. Let's find us a place to pray. Hallelujah. Let's close facing the fire. Let's close desiring the fire. Oh, God of heaven, your presence, your love, God, your power, your holiness, your righteousness. Father in heaven, Lord, just take these words that we have shared tonight. Write them in our hearts. And help us as we face, Lord, these last days living for you.